What the hell?
He went down the steps to the ground and stalked toward the group of spectators.
What's going on here?
Hey, howdy, Jory. What, you ain't heard?
I heard all hell breaking loose, sounded like. Before that, I was trying to get some shut-eye.
Well, Gates and Dagnabbit is fighting.
I can see that. What started it?
Gates found out that Dagnabbit's been bedding his woman.
Is there anybody in camp who ain't bedded Hannah one time or another?
No, I reckon not. But Gates told everybody to steer clear of her. He's done gone sweet on her.
Lord of mercy. Nothing makes a man stupider than a woman. You betting on which one's gonna win?
That's right. You want some of the action?
Anybody betting that neither one of them lived through it?
No. Everybody betting on one side or the other.
Uh-huh. I'll bet that neither one of them makes it through this fight alive.
Hell, I'll take that bet.
Several of the other outlaws joined in, and within minutes, Jory had a sizable amount of money wagered on the outcome. Meanwhile, Tucker and Dabney were bloodier than ever and were visibly tiring. It would only be a matter of minutes before one of the men made a fatal slip. Soon, all the bets were down.
Hey! Gates! Dagnabbit!
Both of the fighters paused, startled by the shout. Tucker and Dabney crashed to the ground, their brains blown out. Jory slid his gun back into leather and smiled at the shocked outlaws.
Neither one of them lived through it. Pay up, boys.
A few jaws clenched in anger, but nobody said anything. And after a second, the men began paying off on their bets, because this was the infamous Jory Poole they were dealing with, their leader, the fastest on the draw, and the most vicious member of the bunch, and nobody wanted to cross him.
Yell, Jory!
A hail from one of the lookouts posted up on the canyon wall told Poole that riders were coming in. The newcomers had to be members of the gang. Otherwise, they would have been gunned down out of hand if they approached the hideout. Poole walked out to meet the two riders. He recognized Hap Mitchell and Lonnie Beeman, both of whom had ridden with the gang on several jobs in the past. They hadn't been here to the hideout for quite a while, so they reined in and raised their hands in greeting.
Howdy, boys. Where you been lately?
Oh, here and there.
You didn't lead no posse back here, did you?
Oh, come on, you know it's better than that, Jory. No bunch of law dogs could follow us less than we wanted them to.
Well, we came across something a few days ago we thought you might be interested in. You heard of a place called Buckskin?
Ghost town, ain't it?
Used to be, but it's not anymore. They found silver there again. One of the mines has opened back up. It wouldn't surprise me if some of the others did, too. And there are prospectors roaming all over those hills looking for other veins. Buckskin's a boom town again. I expect it'll just get bigger.
Lots of dinero there for the taking in a boom town.
Yeah, but that's not all. They got themselves a marshal.
I'm not worried about some two-bit tin badge.
Now, the fella packing the star in Buckskin is Frank Morgan.
Morgan? The one they called a drifter?
His own self.
Never thought anybody as fiddle-footed as Morgan would ever settle down and take a marshal's job. I've wanted to cross trails with him for a long time. You're right. That is interesting. Mighty interesting.
Behind him, the rest of the gang had finished emptying the pockets of Gates Tucker and Dagnabbit Dabney. Now, some of them picked up the bodies and started to carry them toward the ravine, where they would be tossed in to await the scavengers.
Well, what's going on over there?
Never mind about that. Tell me more about this place called Buckskin.